It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Tonight we continue Candidate Week. As we've said all along, there are several tight, contentious races in the area. And we here on the download wanted to introduce you to some of the candidates running for office in the Illinois primary, which will be decided next Tuesday night. Instead of the debate format, we're going back-to-back interviews, giving each major candidate equal time. Joining me tonight to help with the interviews, of course, Mike Fouché from AlderTrack.com.
Good to be here.
Good to see you. And our next guest is candidate Kim Fox. Kim is a former chief of staff to the Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle. Fox was also an assistant state's attorney for Cook County. She also worked in the Cook County Public Guardian's Office, and she is running for Cook County State's Attorney. Ms. Fox, good to see you.
Good to see you again. Thanks for having me back.
All right, so let's get right to it. Well, I mean, you were on the program. We talked, I think it was way back.
Fall?
Yeah, it's like fall. But, you know, we're introducing you as a candidate. I mean, a lot has changed since then. Talk about why you want to be state's attorney, because this is obviously a very lightning rod job.
Certainly. So our criminal justice system has been broken for quite some time. And when I was here in the fall, we talked a lot about, you know, our streets still being ravaged with violence. And we had our jails that were filled with people that were there for nonviolent offenses, and making sure that our criminal justice system was responsive to the needs of public safety, and at the same time being smart with the use of our resources. Since I've been here, of course, there's been a lot of talk around police accountability, and there has been a continued demonstration by the current state's attorney of her inability to deal with police misconduct cases in a way that would lead people to have faith and trust in our criminal justice system. So I've spent my entire career dealing with these issues. And, you know, as I said before, I feel like I'm uniquely qualified to take on these challenges, all of them. And so I want to run for this office to restore faith and integrity in our system.
So your opponents have said that you're basically just a puppet of Tony Preckwinkle and Joe Berrios, the Cook County Democratic chairman. So how do you make the case that you're actually independent? What are you going to do to demonstrate that you're not beholden to the establishment?
Certainly. I'm beholden to the people of Cook County who elect me. I spent my entire career working on these issues, as I said before. I have worked 15 years in public service before I met Tony Preckwinkle. I never knew her before I came to work for her at the county. I spent 12 years as an assistant state's attorney, a job that I absolutely loved until the end when the current state's attorney
took over. No, there's no doubt. You have a great resume and you have a great background, but how are you going to set yourself apart?
I mean, I think I set myself apart by saying I've committed my career to this, and the office, the oath to uphold justice and having justice be blind is what I'm going to uphold to. The president's support of my campaign, along with the others, both in the political and civic and, you know, the newspaper endorsements, are all great. But it's the voter, it's the citizens of Cook County who I'm running for this office for.
Let me ask you this, Kim, because you're right. When we had you on before, this was before Laquan McDonald.
Yeah.
This was, you know, we were talking about other issues in criminal justice. But, you know, talking about that case in particular, and you've been very outspoken about how that was handled, the incumbent will say that it's a complex issue when it comes to police and investigating and prosecuting police officers. How do you fix the system to make sure that if police officers are like the ones we saw on the video commit a crime, that they're prosecuted in due time?
Yeah, I mean, they are complex cases, but the Laquan McDonald is not an outlier for Anita Alvarez. We also have the Dante Servin case. We also have cases of police officers who have been charged with perjury 13 months after they were caught in a courtroom, having perjured themselves by a judge. I mean, the issues around police accountability lie with the state's attorney. It is the state's attorney's responsibility to hold police officers who engage in misconduct accountable, responsible. The overwhelming majority of our police officers are good, hardworking individuals who run into the face of danger. When those who break the law, aren't held accountable, our system goes into chaos. What I will say is Chicago, Cook County, has a long-standing history of not dealing with police misconduct cases. We are the only place in the country that has a police torture reparations fund. We literally, you know, cleaned out, you know, death row and jail cells for people who went to prison for crimes they didn't commit based on misconduct by police. So we're long overdue long overdue. Laquan McDonald's tip of the iceberg and Anita Alvarez's failures in there are bright. But this is a long issue that we've not dealt with.
Is there a difference between the way police officers and average citizens are dealt with when they commit crimes?
There shouldn't be. I mean, there absolutely shouldn't be. If you're talking about a police officer who commits a crime like
is
in
there
the McDonald
today,
case.
Today, is there a difference?
I think there's a perception that there's a difference. I mean, I'm not there in the state's attorney's office to tell you how she makes the determinations of whether or not to charge a police officer. What I can tell you is that we look at the cases, we look at the perjury cases or lack thereof that have been charged. When you talk to people who work in the criminal justice system, who will tell you that those types of incidents happen on a regular basis. Or when you have, as I said, a case out of the suburbs where police officers were caught on the stand lying under oath. And Anita Alvarez waited 13 months to charge that case. In other cases where folks do that, and there's a case where someone recanted and she charged a recantation with perjury, she'll do it. And so when you don't see the data backing up that you treat people the same, the perception is you don't until you can prove otherwise.
You know, she in a forum just recently, Anita Alvarez sort of suggested that this was sort of a one-note complaint to her, that the sort of, you know, confidence in the justice system and confidence in the justice system, that was it. But there's much more to the job of being the state's attorney. And she said that both you and Donna Moore, you just weren't up to that challenge. Well, how do you respond to that?
What I would say is that our criminal justice system is broken. And the only way you fix it is to know what the problem is. And her inability to acknowledge that the system is not working effectively demonstrates her inability to fix it. I mean, again, I ran for this office before Laquan McDonald. There have been a litany of issues with the state's attorney's office under her leadership, and her absolute refusal. Everything is someone else's fault. She is not responsible for anything. It's judges won't prosecute or judges won't convict police officers. It's witnesses won't give me information. Real leadership is exercising good judgment, setting the standard, and taking responsibility. She has no responsibility in her mind for the failures of her office, and her judgment is what's gotten her to this point.
So speaking of leadership, what sort of leadership does the city of Chicago need for the Chicago Police Department? I mean, in order to make the changes necessary.
I think we need a leader who understands the complexity of the city of Chicago and the longstanding history between the relationship between the police department and some of our most vulnerable communities. I think we need someone who understands that we have to work with the community in real partnership in order to deal with these issues. You're also going to need someone who's able to rebuild morale. I mean, the morale in the police department right now is rather low, given what's been happening over the last 6 months. And they need to feel supported and that their leadership has their back. But also one that says, you guys are held to a standard that is high because you've taken this oath, because you have this responsibility, but you will be supported.
Do you have confidence that Rahm Emanuel and the police board will make the right choice?
I certainly want to believe that we have to go into a direction where people believe that the police department is going to operate in a transparent, fair, and credible way. I haven't been a part of the process to see how they're making those decisions, but we cannot afford a misstep in terms of having the right leadership in that office.
Kim Fox is running for state's attorney, Cook County state's attorney. When we come back, we'll talk more with you about your platforms and about some of the bigger issues as well surrounding race and how you would work with that in the office. It's a download here on WGN. Stay with us. It's a download here on WGN Radio. It's Candidate Week. Tonight, we're talking about the race for state's attorney in Cook County, Democratic primary. In studio with me right now, Kim Fox. Kim Fox is a challenger. Let's talk about I want to talk about two issues. I want to talk about race, and I also want to talk about politics because, you know, one other thing, this the state's attorney is a huge political office. I mean, this is an office where I feel like, you know, you've seen some of the people in from Mayor Daley to Dick Devine was in for a long time. Even with Anita Alvarez, you've seen her after Laquan McDonald just, I mean, draw the ire of community. I mean, are you prepared not just to be the top prosecutor, but to essentially be someone who is a politician, in a political office?
Yeah, I mean, it's an elected office. You are put there by the will of the voters, and you are accountable to the voters who put you there. But I absolutely think you have to, you know, uphold the law, and you have to balance, again, you have to use judgment about what you should and do versus what you can do. And you also have to be able to explain yourself. I think part of the issues that Anita Alvarez has had is not just because it's a political office. It was the lack of transparency. The ire of what happened with Laquan McDonald wasn't because she charged Jason Van Dyke. It was because 400 days went without any information about what was happening in that case. I think you can absolutely do this job, hold yourself accountable to the voters, to the public, but you have to do it in a way that is open and transparent and accountable.
So Mayor Emanuel has talked about having a 90-day waiting period before videos are released. Lisa Madigan, Attorney General Lisa Madigan, has said, well, the standard should be FOIA, which is 14 days. And where do you stand on that?
Yeah, I think we have to be careful when we're using numbers to pick when the public should be given information, particularly as it relates to an open criminal investigation. We have to weigh, you know, the public's need to know versus the integrity of the investigation or the integrity of the case that you're putting together. So, you know, putting out an arbitrary number for me doesn't make sense without knowing the facts of the entire case or what we're dealing with at the time. I certainly think 400 days is ridiculous. I certainly think that we shouldn't have to sue and go to court to get information. I think the standard should be once you know that you've secured that information that's going to be made available anyway at a public hearing, that the public should have it beforehand. But it should not taint the integrity of the investigation that you're doing.
I got to ask about race because the obviously with Laquan McDonald, and you've seen a huge movement towards Just a light shone on police and the relationship with communities. You mentioned it a little bit earlier, but just about the level of distrust and mistrust with the Chicago Police Department among Black and Brown communities. I mean, if you look at the jails right now, I think this is what we talked about back in the fall about the idea that it's disproportionate. As you know, running for state's attorney as state's attorney, what do you say to that? What do you say to minority voters who may want to vote for you, who have had issues like that or feel like there's a mistrust with the prosecutors in this county?
I think it's a conversation that's not just for minority voters. It's for all of us in the county that we have to start having frank conversations about race in our criminal justice system. I think part of the reason that we've never really addressed the disproportionality issue is that when the topic of race comes up, there's a reluctance to delve into it. There's a reluctance to have difficult conversations. Our county is 25% African American, 25% Latino, and yet they're 86% of our jail population. In our juvenile detention center, it's about 94%. And we know that there are different policing strategies that are done, you know, from in Lawndale versus in Evanston. And the data, you know, if you make data available, we'll be able to show you, are we treating people the same? Are we treating people fairly? And then as it comes to the issue of trust, as I talked about, the relationship with the police, you know, is a longstanding issue for a lot of these communities. When we look at what happened with Burge, when we look at, you know, what was happening in the 70s and 80s and 90s, those are conversations that we've never really addressed. We've written checks, you know, misconduct checks. We've got a police torture reparations fund. But I think leadership, you know, our lead officials who deal with these issues should be engaged.
Well, that's you. That's going to be you, right? I mean, how do you see yourself interacting with those difficult conversations
at that
level? I think
it's, again, start by acknowledging that we have a problem here and start by acknowledging that one of the problems is, you know, that we have a racial divide that we need to bridge. And the way that you do it, particularly in those communities of color, is show them the data. Let them see that what they feel, the antidotes, the sense in their community is either backed up and substantiated by data or it's not.
But Mayor Emanuel has been claiming that for a long time. Crime is going down, that there's fewer...
They use data to say that, yeah.
They've been using data for some time. That was McCarthy, Superintendent McCarthy's whole... program, which was constantly repeating that the crime is going down.
But the data we haven't seen is the prosecutor's data, right? And how the prosecutor, we must be clear, is the gatekeeper of the justice system. Police arrest, prosecutors charge. And so the state's attorney, Anita Alvarez, has been reluctant and almost stonewalling being able to see how it is that they make decisions in terms of charging. If we all know, we've talked about this before, if all along racial lines, people use drugs at the same usage rate, and yet, you know, 25% of the people in our jails are there for drugs and they're overwhelmingly African-American and Latino, we're not arresting and we're not charging at the same rates. So when I'm talking about data, it's like making sure that our system is fair and equitable for all. And that will engender the trust of the people who you're serving, who say that it's not fair and equitable. And we know that because we live in these communities and it doesn't look like it. We have to have those tough conversations.
As we wrap up here, you know, I asked a question at the beginning just about why you want to be state's attorney. And obviously you've seen, you know, the uprising of people when prosecutions go bad, when a police officer is not charged or a grand jury. We've seen that not just here in this county, but in the country. You know, for you, I mean, when you think about wanting to be state's attorney, are there any thoughts like, that's a job that I'm not sure that I necessarily want to get in front of?
Absolutely not. I grew up in Chicago, and I grew up, you know, it's well documented, one of the most notorious housing projects in the country. And I grew up believing, you know, in the value of a fair justice system. That's what puts you on even footing. What I've seen in the country, what I've seen here at home, has made me sad for where we've gotten with our criminal justice system. And if good people don't step up and say that we're willing to do the difficult work to make people who live in neighborhoods across this county feel safe and protected, their relationships between law enforcement and communities are secure, then we shouldn't do it. So I'm looking forward to being able to bridge the divide. I'm looking forward to be able to transform a system that has been so fractured, and being a leader in criminal and juvenile justice reform across the country.
Kim Fox is running for state's attorney for the Cook County, or I guess I want to say the County of Cook, but that's so English. County of Cook.
Or old Chicago.
Kim Fox is running for the Democratic primary for the Cook County state's attorney. Kim, thanks for being here.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.